But he said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you.
Right.
He said, I'll go all the way with you. Thank God, even unto the end of the world. Good to be here tonight. I would be ashamed of myself if I went any further without thanking the Lord for my blessed wife. I don't know how it is down in Missouri. But back in Ohio, Brother Darrell, it's hard-pressed to find a good preacher's wife. Somebody that'll stick by him no matter what comes and no matter what goes, no matter how bad they're talked about. Because, honey, when you stand upon God's Word, you're not going to be popular.
Right.
I've never looked for a pat on the back. I've been sometimes afraid to walk to my car. How mad it made people. But you know what? I determined 8 years ago when God called me to preach, and I fought Him for so long, Brother Hensley, and I declare that when I finally stepped out and said I'd preach His Word, that I made up my mind that no matter what come, no matter who got mad at me, thank God, no matter who wouldn't talk to me, that I would not compromise. The blessed Word of God, thank God. The churches are dried up and dead today. The cults are compromising. The blessed Holy Book. It's not to be compromised. But He said, thank God, take and eat. The Holy Book, from Genesis to Revelation. I found it's all good to eat. It's strength for you. When you're down, Brother Darrell, thank God. Some of them want to rip out the pages for the words that don't suit them. But thank God it's like a road map. From Ohio to Missouri, if I'd have ripped out a page, I might have took a wrong turn. And I wouldn't be here. Don't rip the pages out because you might not make it home. But thank God that I'm glad. Glory be to God that He's able to take you all the way. The Bible said in the Psalm 78, it said they spake against God in the wilderness, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I want you to know tonight that I come from Ohio. I come here 10 hours to declare unto you that I know the answer to the question, and I know that God can. I don't care tonight what you're going through. I don't care tonight if nobody in the whole state of Missouri will come and worship with you. I want you to know tonight that God is able. That it was by accident that this little preacher met Brother Darrell on the Sunday morning that I was heading to another church. I'm 3 pews deep. You're not preaching. Oh, thanks be unto God. I would give you 10 cents for somebody. We had a boy come one time, Brother Darrell, and he had a stack of notes that big, trying to preach. And if I'd have went up here and yanked them notes, he'd have been lost like a bow in tall grass. But I want you to know, right here's all there is. And I preach unto the world. I ain't got enough sense in me to sit and write out a message. I didn't know until I stood here what God had put on my heart. But I want you to know tonight that God can furnish a table in the wilderness. Glory be to God tonight. Our mind, Brother Hensley, we beg. I told myself, Brother, I would not say this when I came.
But I just couldn't help it. And thank be unto God that our man went back into the year of 19 in 78. Mommy and Daddy had him a baby boy. They were just tickled to death. But about 7 weeks into my life, Brother Henley, I got sick. He broke it into a million pieces, Brother Darrell.
Bless
him. I hollered for Daddy. I said, Daddy, I need you to come in here. Daddy came in there and he said, honey,
What's the matter? Listen, I was 12 years old. And I didn't have an inch of pride in me at that point. There's not a lot of 12-year-old little boys that call for daddy to come into the bathroom while they're taking a bath. But he broke my heart, Brother Darryl, into a million pieces. But I knew how to get it put back together again. Thank God I called daddy in there. I said, "Daddy, I need to pray. I need to get saved." And he said, "Well, son, don't you want to wait until we get to church?" With all of us, I said, "No, daddy, I need to get saved." And listen, what God can, God. Let me tell you what God did. In Pittsburgh, they ripped open my chest. And they took their hands in there. And they ripped out my heart. And they left a scar that you can see today from here down to my belly button. But let me tell you what God did on that summer morning. He came in there. Brother Darryl, he took out that old heart that was full of sin and full of hate. And he put in a heart of love. And there wasn't a scar left. But I want you to know there he left an impression on me that I cannot yet get the words to describe.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen. King God, do you believe that He's able?
Amen.
Thank God. That's not the end of the story. I wish that I could say that it was, Brother Darryl. You ever feel Him so strong you feel Him in your hair? That's not the end of the story. Brother Hensley, I met my wonderful wife, and me and Brother Aaron, Brother Darryl knows who I'm talking about. We was preaching our second revival in 2 weeks. When we first started preaching, that was only 8 years ago. This world was a lot different. They was in revival after revival. You was seeing people saved. But nowadays you can't get a lost person out of church if you drag them. But thank God, listen. We started that revival on a Wednesday night. And listen, Brother Darryl, I knew by the night. I'm just going to tell you my life history if that'd be all right. But I knew the night that I walked in that there was something special about a little girl that sat three pews back on the right. I knew there was something special, but I didn't know what it was. I'm the King God. Let me tell you, God can. I'm Brother Deppel. Sunday night I rolled around and there was two churches that canceled out service. You couldn't get somebody to do that now if you paid them to, because they think that their church is the only church going. But I want you to know that I'm a part of a church that's going up one day. You don't have Free Will Baptist. You don't have any denomination above it. But it's a blood washed bed going to meet Jesus. They should. And they canceled out service. And we got to preaching that night. I probably couldn't tell you much about what I preached about. But I know they got that old altar call song out. Coming home. And there was a little girl back there that had her heart broke into a million pieces. And she rushed over and grabbed her head by the arms and hugged her real tight. And out she came to get saved that night. King God. Now listen, I got about 2 days' notice for this revival. And listen, I wasn't prepared. I had things that I needed to do. But God knew different. God knew that on July 12th, 1998, that Jennifer Fields was going to be saved. And that a year later, on July 10th, 1999, that He'd made Himself a preacher's wife that would stick by Him. Listen, I got a story to tell my babies when they get old enough to understand that mommy got saved while daddy was preaching. And daddy walked mommy out into the water to be baptized. And let me tell you, God can.
That's so hard. That's so hard. God, thank you, Lord.
January 1999.
God bless.
Church, this is all that I've ever known. You ever met them that think that there's nothing else in the world to do but go to church? That's the way that I grew up. You went to church with a nice big smile on your face, or you went to church with tears rolling down your eyes, but you went to church. This is all that I've ever known. In January 1999, I was preaching Sunday night at the church, and I'd been sick for 2 weeks and just couldn't figure out Brother Darrell what in the world was the matter with me. But listen, when God comes on the scene, I don't care how sick you are or how bad you are, but when God comes by, you're able to do His work.
That's right.
I remember so well that night we preached, and they had to help me to the car, Brother Darrell. I was so sick. But I got a little jump in my step after those three souls got saved that night. And they took me straight from church to the emergency room because something bad was wrong.
Bless you, Lord.
And I was about to get married in 7 months. And when I was 11 years old and they told me that I was about to die, I was just a kid. I hadn't lived much of a life with Darrell, but it seems like the older you get, and they say death's coming, you've got more to live for. Not that I don't want to go home, because it would be all right with me if I don't even walk through them doors tonight. I just go on home. That would be all right with me. But the doctors did test, and back in Mansfield where I live, and they did CAT scans. They did things that I can't even say to me, just working me over. And the end of this story was they brought in a piece of paper that showed Mom and Dad the mass that was around my colon that they said was cancer. And they said, there's not much we can do. Can God? I believe He can. I didn't know what to do. There's no miracle in me. We got to calling everybody we knew and said, would you pray? Would you pray? And Mommy and Daddy got me in the car and they drove me down to Pittsburgh, and they admitted me into the hospital. And I'm scared, but there, I ain't going to lie to you. I wanted to marry my wife. And she was right by my side. And then doctors in Pittsburgh, they began to do the same test, and they did them once, and then they said, we need to do them again. They came back, got me, and they put me down there. They did them same tests again, and that doctor brought in two pieces of paper. And he said, this is the test that they ran in Mansfield, and you see this big old knot tumor around your colon? I said, yeah, I see it. I saw it in Mansfield. He said, this is the test that we just ran on you. There's nothing there. He said, maybe, Brother Darrell, maybe them doctors in Mansfield got the test mixed up, or maybe they did something wrong. I said, no, that's just God. Many times do you wonder how you made it this far? That's God.
Amen.
When you realize it wasn't as bad as it really seemed, that's God.
Amen.
When your body's sick and then it's not anymore, like you told me today, brother,
yes,
that's God.
Amen.
Can God?
Amen.
I'm confident that He can.
Amen.
But the best is yet to come.
Amen.
That's not the end of the story.
That
was gone. We got married. And we talked to the doctors because I'm on such powerful medicine for my heart so that my body don't reject my heart. We just were troubled. Because we wanted children, Brother Darrell. And I ain't going to lie to you tonight. I desire to have someone that when Daddy's gone, that if God sees fit, that can carry the mantle. Because they're a dying breed. Brother Hensley, they're a dying breed. Preachers today, they just want patted on the back and told how good they are. I don't want one of you to have any confidence in me. Because it's not in me. But it's in Him.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Doctor said we just don't know if you'll be able. We just don't know if it'll happen for you. And story goes that me and my wife, we got pregnant. We lost the baby. Broke my heart. He gave me more to go home for. Can God? Do you believe that He can?
Amen.
We're sitting in church at the United Baptist Church. I was preaching, and I was about three pews preaching. Y'all probably learned that I can't sit still. Sometimes it just overwhelms me. And I was about right there where your wife was at on that end of the pew preaching. I was preaching about heaven and preaching about hell. And at that time that I was preaching, I was preaching to the church about all the little children that were over in heaven. Some mamas don't want them, and they just kill them. Our country says that's okay. God says it's not.
That's right.
But I'm glad Jesus had the rocking chair for him. He take care of him when mom don't want him.
Bless you, Lord.
He said, well, preacher, is there any reason why? What if something bad happened? There's no reason to kill a baby. They didn't ask for it.
Nope.
Listen, we got about there and we started home and I said, honey, I said, do you want to know what the baby looks like? We're just about a month from losing our baby. And she said, honey, that's not funny. I said, honey, I'm not talking about the one we lost. I'm talking about the one you're carrying now. She didn't even know. She said, are you crazy? I said, I might be. I said, well, we need to find out, don't we? She went out to the store and got a test and came home. I took out the trash, it takes a little bit. She said, how are you doing, Daddy?
God, thank you.
She said, what does he look like? I said, well, it's a boy. I said, he's got blonde hair. I said, he's got blue eyes. I said, he's got his daddy's ears. Came on. I'm not one. The Bible says no faith is a substance.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And the evidence of things not seen before by it, the elders obtained a good report. Listen, honey, you tell me that they say that God is limited in what He can do. But I want you to know they said that a transplant patient wouldn't be able to have children. I've got something to go to heaven for. The Bible said in John, He said like this, and when you see Him, you shall see Him as He is. And to me, He's been a healer of my body. He's been an answer to a prayer of an answer. Listen, we were so excited. We was going to give Dylan a baby brother or sister. And we got in there. And the doctor said, you're going to have twins. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're going to have twins. I said, that'll be all right. And listen, for some reason, I'm not going to question him. I'm Brother Darrell. But there was
the baby that didn't make it. I've got reasons to go to heaven tonight. And glory be to God. But listen, it got down to about Thanksgiving. And they said, Brother Darrell, they said, you're going to have to make a decision. Your wife is bleeding so bad that we're not going to be able to save her and the baby. I said, my God is able. Says in Malachi, and said in that day, when I make up my jewels.
Sorry. Bless you, Lord.
I don't know about you. I don't have no great bank account. And I don't desire it, Brother Darrell. We got to Missouri by faith. Listen, I opened up that first email, Brother Darrell, when we got to talking about coming and holding revival. I don't remember the words that were in it, but I remember what I felt when I read it. And you say, well, Brother Kevin, that's internet. Honey, God was all over it. I told Jen, I said, go over and read that. I thought she was going to tear the house down. That spirit came by so sweet.
That's evil.
Can God? Do you believe that God can?
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Do you believe that God can bring a band of people together that desire to have something, Brother Darrell, that they can't find nowhere else?
Right.
And when they get to searching for it, glory be to God. When God's in the arrangements, honey, I want you to know things will open up, things will happen, and the world will look on it and say, well, it was coincidence. I want you to know it's not by any coincidence that in Missouri a group of people that felt led by the Lord to separate themselves from the things of the world, God handed them a church and said, here it is, you serve me and I'll take care of you. King God, you may not, Brother Darrell, you might not, over 20 years or 50, you might not grow one person, but I want you to know that when He comes, glory be to God, right in a great cloud of glory, say, come home, my children. But you all that are here tonight, I believe that heaven will be the same for you as if it was 1,000 people in your church.
Blessed Lord.
It don't take no great number.
Nope.
That's why the churches today are dried up. They care more about the number on the board.
That's
than they do anything.
That's right. Bless him, Lord.
He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name,
right,
I will be there in the midst.
Right.
Listen, it's not about Brother Darrell. I have a 500 out. I didn't come to Missouri to see how many people attended Brother Darrell Hensley's church. But I came to Missouri, Brother Hensley, to preach the infallible Word of God. That when I leave on Sunday morning and I head north home, that I will leave you more encouraged than when I came. That's what I'm here for. I used to tell you about Jesus and how good He's been to me.
God bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Last year, probably, honey, it's about this week. Last year,
bless you, Lord.
I found myself in the office of a surgeon. They found a tumor on my back, and they told me and my wife that they were pretty confident that I had a form of cancer on my back. And they wanted to send me to a surgeon to take care of it, to make sure it hadn't spread anywhere.
Bless you more.
I ain't got much sense. I ain't too smart, but I know that God hears and answers His children's prayers.
Right.
I know that He said the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man,
right,
availeth much.
Amen.
And I know that some people in Fredericktown, Brother Darrell got to praying for their assistant pastor. I know, Brother Hensley, that there was churches all over Ohio praying. And when I went into that doctor's office that day, he said, tell me where the tumor's at. I said, well, doctor, it's about right here. He said, all right, let me look. And he began to feel, and he said, where'd you say that was? I said, well, the doctor told me that it was right here. He said, I don't feel a thing. There's nothing there. Brother Darrell, I felt of it for myself. My wife felt of it. And there was a tumor there. But from somewhere on Sunday morning in church to Monday morning at the doctor's office, the blessed mighty hand of God came by and removed the tumor. The doctors say that they can't explain it, but I say that God can.
Amen. Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him, Lord.
In October this year, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for my yearly checkup, Brother Hensley. And I felt like everything was alright, Brother Darrell. I was excited to go get some good news and come home. And they pulled me out of that operating room where they did that heart cath on me. And they brought my wife there to the bedside. And they said, we got bad news. They said that you've been out of the woods for 15 years. In 1989, they said, I'd only make it 5. God can.
Amen.
I said, you've been out 15 years and we've not seen any problems in all 15 years. They said, but we found something. That you've got a disease now of your heart. That it could be 6 months. Could be a year. 2 years, maybe 5. But they said, you're going to need another transplant. And they said, this one won't be as easy. They said, they never are as you get older. Like it broke my heart. Any of you ever felt the burden hit you so hard that you just feel like quitting? You can lie to me and tell me you haven't, but I know everybody's been there.
Amen.
If you serve the Lord with all your heart, them burdens will come. And if you ain't had burdens and you ain't been, or Satan hasn't been on you, you better find you an altar somewhere because you probably ain't got what you thought you had. Because, honey, he'll fight you. And he'll be on you all the time. But I heard a preacher say one time, you don't have to give him a saddle to sit in to make him comfortable. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
That's right.
But I was burdened. I was just tore all to pieces. I wouldn't talk to Jen. I was hateful and I was troubled. We got into church and Ed just... I've been at the church that I'm at since September. God has just blessed so much. And it burdened the church down so bad. And we are so troubled about it. You ever had an experience with God when it's just you and Him?
Right.
Some think that they can't feel God unless they're in a church house with a congregation of people. But some of the best experiences I've ever had with Him has been me and Him riding along in the car. And I was riding along and I wasn't questioning God. I mean, I've been through a little bit in my life. There's been people that's been through more. And I was troubled. And we just began to talk. And His little hand came by. And it just touched me so good. And I got peace, Brother Darryl. Yeah, they may cut me open again. And they may take out this heart. When I had my transplant, Brother Darryl, right before I went home, they took me into a little room and inside this cup they had my heart that they took out of me. And I held it in my hands. I held the heart that I was born with in my hands. But you know, Brother Hensley, that there may come a day where this heart that I now have will be taken from this old body. And I don't know that I'll hold it in my hand. But I believe that whoever holds it in their hand, Brother Hensley, if they begin to look at it very closely and begin to examine it very much and look at what it's been through, I don't think, Brother Darryl, that they're going to have to look very far because it was this hard that God reached down and put His hands upon. And I believe if they looked, Brother Darryl, very close, that they would see the hands of God all over my heart. You may read in your paper, Brother Darryl may get the news, maybe in a year, maybe in time, maybe in a month, that Brother Kevin Morris didn't make it through this battle. Would you do me a favor? Don't weep for me, because God has been good to me over the last 15 years, more than I ever deserved, and it's been a pleasure. Brother Hensley, serving Him, and if I had it to do all over again, I would go back and listen. I would do everything. Although you say, well, preacher, you would go through all that sickness again. Yes, I would, because He went to the cross of Calvary for me. And I know this, that no matter what I go through, the Bible said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you in that day when Matthew said He gathers His elect from the four winds of the earth. Don't worry about me. I'm going home.
Bless you, Lord.
Don't worry about me. I'm going home.
Bless you, Lord.
And don't feel sorry for me for what I've went through. Because if just one soul has been touched at what God has done in my life, I'd do it 100 times over.
Bless you, Lord.
Because serving Him is everything to me. Hold on to what you got. Because it is this that will take you home when this life is over.
All right.
They spake against God in the wilderness. They said, King God, furnish a table in the wilderness. We could preach all night. Our pastor says that a lot, and I believe he means it sometimes, but I believe it tonight. I probably could preach till church time tomorrow night because I see a bunch of doors opening. We could go grab Brother Darrell. We could go grab one of them that was amongst the 5,000 one day when they were starving to death, hungry, and say, can God furnish a table when they ate from just a little bit and there was plenty left. Brother Darrell, we could go and grab Elijah when he was going up against the prophets of Baal and say, can God furnish a table? I believe he would say that all I had to do was call on his name and he rained down the fire from heaven. Listen, can God, let's go ask that woman who was on the road to bury her son. King God, wake up the dead. Let's ask Lazarus. When the Lord said, Lazarus come forth. Lazarus, began, he was wrapped in grave clothes. He would come hopping out of there. He said, grave, loose him and let him go free. King God, furnish a table in the wilderness. I don't know what your wilderness is tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know the trials that you have, but I know this, that the answer is God for whatever you're going through.
Bless the Lord.
God is the answer.
Sorry.
For all of life's problems.
Bless the Lord.
He's been tempted in every way, and He has overcome. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God can.